With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
It's the Underdog Podcast from SB Nation and Underdog Dynasty.
Welcome to week one, everybody. Conference USA Underdog Podcast on UnderdogDynasty.com, SB Nation's home for G5 football. We did it. There's real games this week. I'm going to break down each one of those within Conference USA for you, give our picks, and talk a little bit about each matchup. Ready to go. Joe Londrigan and Eric Henry here with you once again. Eric, how ready are you for this weekend and the full slate of games?
Dude, I am fired up, man. You know, it's interesting, as we were getting ready to call into the podcast here, you know, not that I don't enjoy talking to you every week during the off season, but it just kind of had a moment where it sunk in and it's like, we're going to be talking real football games. So I'm fired up, man. I'm ready to go.
Yeah, same here. And we're starting it off with Western Kentucky and Central Arkansas on Thursday night at 7:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN+. Toppers get a little extra boost in the last couple of days with Jaden Hunter, the Georgia transfer at linebacker, getting cleared to play immediately. Definitely gives them a little bit of a defensive boost. Looking for anything really to kind of keep the positive momentum going that came with the hire of Tyson Helton. Speaking about this matchup specifically, Central Arkansas, not a bad FCS team. They have a decent quarterback in Luke Hales. However, there's really no excuse for WKU to not win this game, and I expect it to be, I expect it'll be a pretty decent game for Stephen Duncan, barring some kind of, you know, disaster. But I don't think we'll see that, at least not in week one.
Yeah, well, once again, I'm not trying to be the Debbie Downer, but, you know, I was the one who kind of called Maine heading to Bowling Green getting the win last year. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I do think Western will win, but I don't want to just summarily dismiss, you know, the worst case scenario for Western. They just need this one in the worst way. They have to come out, get this season started on the right track, especially given the fact that they did lose to a team in Maine last year they should have beaten. And Maine is a very good FCS team, so it wasn't that, you know, they were played a nobody, but they never recovered from the opening week loss against Wisconsin. So got to get it going. I've got Western.
Same here. Yeah, I don't think there's too many similarities between this game and that Maine game last year. And, Maine, I believe, went on a pretty deep run last year. So obviously it's a different kind of matchup. But in the same vein, I think a lot of the guys who were on that team last year still have that image burned into their brain, and they're going to not let that happen again this year. Another FCS matchup in the league on Thursday night, 7:30 p.m. Eastern, same time, also on ESPN+. Charlotte and Gardner-Webb. Gardner-Webb, not a good team. In theory, Charlotte's offense should have a field day against this team, who really had very few bright spots last season.
Yeah, Gardner-Webb is a program that's struggled for many years now, so you know they're not necessarily in a position to challenge. What I would really be looking for Charlotte is just to see how guys get acclimated, you know, acclimated to a new coach and Will Healy, and how those things get going. Specifically the quarterback, you know, I think we're going to see both Brett Keene and Chris Reynolds. Two different dynamics, in my opinion. Reynolds, despite being smaller in stature, is more of a pocket passer, whereas Brett Keene is someone who will look to move the pocket a little bit, has that athletic ability. Solid athlete coming out of high school in the Cleveland area. So just want to see how both of them are able to efficiently work the offense. Nothing to be concerned about for 49ers fans, as they should get the W.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a nice little jog for those offensive guys that you mentioned. So good way to start the year if you're a 49er fan, for sure. I think this is the most intriguing game, this next one, of Thursday slate, with FIU and Tulane in New Orleans, 8 p.m. Eastern, ESPN3. I do feel very good about this FIU team, so I'm still picking them to win, as I did when we did our full season preview. However, you know, I think you probably know more about this Tulane team than I do, but, you know, very solid team, have never really been able to break through the ceiling of the American in the last couple of years, given the, you know, competition that's in that league with Memphis, Houston, UCF, et cetera. But I do really like the state that FIU is in right now, especially the offense. So I think they'll start the season off on the right foot and get a win.
Yeah, this, when you look at the schedule, arguably is the most competitive Conference USA game we have. I mean, you can look at Texas and La Tech and maybe look at them and say that that might be a competitive game. You never know. FAU, Ohio State, you never know. But I think this one's going to be the closest. The spread is Tulane has 2 points on this one. So obviously the oddsmakers in Vegas thought this one would be a tight ball game as well. Here's the deal if you're an FIU fan. There's really a couple of matchups you need to pay attention to. The run defense, we've gone over that ad nauseum on this podcast, on every podcast and radio appearance that I do. But Tulane has two very good solid running backs in Darius Bradwell and Corey Dauphin. You're going to have to show and prove that you can stop the run early on, and trust me, they'll get their opportunities. A second one is Patrick Johnson, defenseman for Tulane. He's a guy who had 49 tackles, 10 sacks last year. He's going to be going up against D'Anthony Demery, the left tackle. And Demery probably is the best pro prospect in terms of a offensive lineman that FIU has. When you look at his measurables, he kind of reminds me of Laramie Tunsil, who's with the Dolphins, a left tackle, former Ole Miss standout. But really for FIU, it's all the things we've talked about. You know, this is a game that they have to show and prove. They have to come out and say, we're playing a team who has equal talent to us. We're on the road. Let's make a statement that this year is not last year and get the win. Overall, I do think it could be a situation where it comes down to maybe a Jose Borregales late field goal, you know, maybe a late defensive turnover, maybe interception in the secondary. But I do believe FIU gets a W.
Starting the year off on a nerve-wracking note. Not too sure how Panther fans feel about that one. But I feel like that we're in the same place pretty much on thinking they'll start the year off with a win. I think then we'll round off the Thursday slate then with UAB hosting Alabama State, 8 p.m. Eastern, ESPN+. Another bad FCS team here. Should be no problem for UAB against a team that gave up 60.3 times last year. So clearly a program in Alabama State that's one or two issues they need to figure out before they, rise through the ranks of FCS. But for now, UAB should have a decent little tune-up game here.
No disagreement here. The things I'm looking for on this one is just to see how some of the new guys, again, we know that UAB lost a ton of talent on the defensive side of the ball, especially guys like Jamel Garcia-Williams, Chris Wilbright, et cetera. So you want to see how those new guys who are filling in and taking those roles, how they perform against a team that they should dominate against. And also the wide receiver spot, you know, lost guys like Xavier Yabosi. So you just want to see how those positions come along. But UAB should roll. I mean, when you got Spencer Brown in the backfield, if all else fails, just hand it to him 20 times and they'll take care of the rest.
Absolutely. Pretty self-explanatory game plan in theory for UAB here. And then Friday, the one and only Conference USA game that day, Rice heading to Army to face the Black Knights there. 6 p.m. Eastern, CBS Sports Network. We covered it plenty in our season preview, but Rice not in a good spot right now, given the injuries, suspensions, still figuring out the true depth that's on their roster for the most part. And honestly, I think Army is going to be a little bit better than most people think they will be this year. And if they have that running attack going like I think they can, and then I definitely think they're going to get a win. And I think it's going to be a sign of what's to come for Army for the rest of the year, as well as unfortunately the struggles that Rice is probably going to see, many of which are going to be the same struggles they had last season.
Yeah, one thing Army can do is run the football. Kelvin Hawkins Jr., you know he at quarterback. He ran for over 1,000 yards last year. Passed for just over 1,000, but of course that's a byproduct of their offense where they're not looking to toss the ball around too much. I don't think Rice has much of an option on the defensive side that can contain him. I mean, sure, Blaze Aldridge would probably rack up 15 tackles just by virtue of the fact that Army's going to run it 40 times. But yeah, these are two programs who are kind of in different states. My memory serves me correct. I don't have my notes directly in front of me, but I think Army won 11 games last year. Rice hasn't won 11 games in the past few years. So I think the Black Knights will get the W at home.
Yeah, that'll it'll be a tough Friday night for Conference USA, and that'll probably carryover into Saturday a little bit with this early game between Ohio State and Florida Atlantic. That one kicks off at noon Eastern on Fox National TV. Not too much to say here. Ohio State consistently loaded at every single position, it seems. Likely going to be, you know, in the talks of who's the best team in college football for most of the year. We'll see how that goes. But Florida Atlantic, not really an indicator of what this team's going to really be able to do for the rest of the season. But a good opportunity to see, you know, what this team has mentally and whether or not they can put up a fight against a team that's consistently very good year in, year out.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we look at Ohio State, you got to look at Justin Fields, the big-time transfer they got from Georgia. He's going to be the starting quarterback for them. And when I look at this from the FAU perspective, I guess I ask myself, do they have a player on the field that can match that type of talent? Let's just say Justin Fields, for example. I don't believe they do. You can look at guys like Rashad Smith and James Pierre and guys like that are talented Conference USA players, but nothing really that should trouble Ohio State. I guess, once again, from the Owls perspective, you really want to see how competitive you can be and then establish new guys coming in, B.J. Emmons, Larry McCammon as the running backs, see what Chris Robinson could look like at quarterback and see what you can carry on to your Conference USA schedule. But I think we're both in agreement in picking Ohio State.
Yeah, pretty easy decision there. And then also on Saturday, we have the Battle of San Antonio, it would seem, between UTSA and the FCS team, Incarnate Word. This is going to be relatively close, I actually think. Incarnate Word gave some teams trouble last year, gave UTSA trouble last time they played, I believe. But I think UTSA does win this one. I think this is going to be one of their bright spots of the year. And definitely need this win, as I've kind of said before. Frank Wilson needs to start picking up some steam in order to kind of keep what he's building going, because frankly, the last 2 years have kind of left a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths. So hopefully that changes with this game.
Yeah, I guess I'm a little bit higher on UTSA. I mean, I shouldn't say higher, but I'm more optimistic about this game in particular just because of how much is riding on this season for Frank Wilson and the environment around the program. Everyone knows that it's, I don't want to say it's do or die in terms of, you know, getting a bowl appearance, but they know they need a better showing overall. Very intrigued to see what Frank Harris has as the quarterback. Guys like Sincere McCormick at running back, see how those guys perform. And also a couple guys at wide receiver, Tyke Ogle-Kellogg. I just want to see what they can do since they're obviously going to play major roles in what UTSA is able to do overall during the season. I think they win rather easily. So once again, for Frank Wilson's sake, you better hope that this one ain't close at any point in time.
Yeah, yeah. Like I said, they need to get some positive momentum going. And anytime you lose to an FCS team, that's not going to make people optimistic about the future of your program. So, you know, again, this is a must win for him, but I think both of us are relatively optimistic that they can at least get that much done. We got Marshall and VMI at 6:30 p.m. Eastern time on Saturday as well. No television for that game as far as I know, at least not on a major network, but this really should be no problem for the Thundering Herd. VMI, not great historically as an FCS team. Should be a good tune-up game, as I mentioned, for a couple of the other games that we've talked about so far in this episode, particularly with those young offensive guys. Brendan Knox, Isaiah Green, good chance for them to show that, you know, they've developed a little bit from last year and get their season off on the right foot.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to, you know, kind of come down on VMI, but six wins in the past 4 years isn't really getting it done on the field. Their team, I believe my memory serves me correct, was blown out 77-14 against Old Dominion last year. So we know what type of state their program is in. I'm looking forward to see what a guy like Furman Silva can do in his Marshall debut, see what kind of role he may play, because obviously Marshall will contend in the East. We both believe that. And real quick, I think this game is on Stadium. I'm looking at the FIU game notes as well as online. It does say it's on Stadium. So at least, you know, you can pick it up somewhere if you want to watch what we both believe will be a definitive Marshall victory.
Absolutely. Real quick, I just want to shout out the kid who tweeted at us earlier this week. just disagree with the Marshall take. Welcome to your opinion, but main thing I want to say is thank you for being civil and disagreeing with us in a polite way. You'd be surprised how many people that disagree with me like to tell me where I can go or where I can shove certain things. So thank you.
I second that. I want to second that before you continue. I'll second that point there. So yeah.
Yes. And it's always nice to hear from listeners when they have, you know, legitimately want to have conversations about the stuff we talk about and tell us, you know what I mean? So that's kind of nice.
Yeah. I do know exactly what you mean.
Yeah. With another FCS opponent on the schedule here for Old Dominion in Norfolk State, 7 p.m. Eastern, ESPN3 is going to be that game. I think Old Dominion takes this one. I think, as we've talked about before, we're not real high on where Old Dominion is this year, new stadium or not. But Old Dominion, I think, is going to be a team that's going to have some kinks to work out throughout the course of the year, and hopefully they can get several of those out of the way now in what's probably going to be their most surefire win of the season, hopefully. So I think Old Dominion's going to be able to take this one, and they got to get ready for the more challenging opponents on their schedule very quickly.
Yeah, just the only things I'm really looking for as far as Old Dominion's concerned, looking forward to the debut of wide receiver Stevie Williams. You know, I won't cover that point again. It's been announced that he will see some time at wide receiver and potentially see some time at quarterback, but just want to see how that goes. The quarterback situation there with Stone, Smart, Messiah DeWeaver, see how that works out. But yeah, this needs to be a definitive opening victory, opening the new stadium. Nothing needs to go wrong for Bobby Wilder's club against Norfolk State.
Correct. Continuing on to the Saturday slate then, Southern Miss, Alcorn State, 7 p.m. Eastern, ESPN Plus. Taking Southern Miss here, I don't think they'll have too much trouble with this. Alcorn State is another one of those programs that has had one or two struggles over the last couple of years, not to the extent of VMI, but I think this is going to be a good opportunity for Southern Miss to kind of explore their options at quarterback a little bit. You know, as we've mentioned, they definitely have some options at that position. And I think this is the best opportunity they're going to have, at least as far as the early part of the season, to really figure out what their best option is at that spot.
We differ on this one just a little bit. Once again, do not want to upset the Southern Miss faithful. I am not saying you will lose this ball game. All I'm saying is that Alcorn State is the pride of the SWAC, and in that sense that they were the SWAC champion last year. They won 9 games under Fred McNair. Fred McNair is the brother of the late Tennessee Titans. Maybe I don't think he's a Hall of Famer, but Tennessee Titans legend, Steve McNair, is in his third season. They've been a, like you said, Joe, I mean, they've had their struggles at times, but under Fred McNair, he's kind of had them heading in the right direction. And they're actually, like I said, they're the pride in the class of the SWAC heading into this year. Their team has projected to potentially win another 9 or 10 games. Once again, not saying Southern Miss will lose, but they need to show up. I don't think this is much a, you know, get the kinks worked out type game, like the VMI Marshall game. So just show up, win, do what you're supposed to do, but it's not quite a pushover, in my opinion.
Fair enough. Should be a win, but it doesn't sound like it'll be an easy win. I don't think that will be the case for Middle Tennessee in this next one, unfortunately for them. Could be that for their opponent, unfortunately. Michigan and Middle Tennessee State at the Big House, 7:30 p.m. Eastern. Big Ten Network is where you can find that one. You know, like the Ohio State game between them and Florida Atlantic, I don't have too much to say here. I think they're a little bit overclassed in terms of talent. Michigan was a team that was real close to making the playoff last year, returning a lot of that team. Middle Tennessee's got some questions to deal with, particularly on that offense. So, I think Michigan's going to run away with this one, unfortunately, for Blue Raider fans.
Yeah, you know, you and I are both in agreement there. I'm sure the major thing that you and I both are looking forward to seeing in terms of how this game shakes out is just the quarterback situation. And it's almost unfair to whoever, you know, gets the majority of the snaps because you're playing such a tough team in Michigan. I expect it to be Asher O'Hara to at least get the start and maybe ride, you know, Rick Stockstill's club through this stretch where they have a more than a handful of Power Five opponents. But, yeah, Michigan, I mean, that's a team that should be challenging for a CFP spot in 2019.
Yeah, going to be a tough one for them, as we said. with North Texas and Abilene Christian. I think it's going to be the other way around. 7:30 p.m. Eastern, ESPN Plus. Abilene, I don't really know too much about them per se. I think they've given a couple different teams some troubles in the past. However, I don't think they're going to do that with North Texas. Really strong offensive talent on that team, like we've been saying all year. Obviously, I really think for a team that we think is going to win Conference USA, they really shouldn't be having problems against this Abilene Christian team. So if they do, that's probably going to be a little bit of a red flag. But I think North Texas pretty much has this one in the bag.
No challenge here. I think UNT rolls. I'll keep it short and sweet.
For sure. And then we got Texas and Louisiana Tech at 8 p.m. on the Longhorn Network. You know, I think this is another one of those games that's This is another one of those games that's not indicative of where Louisiana Tech's going to be at the end of the year, of course. But, you know, I think Texas isn't quite up to the par right now with some of the other P5 games that we've talked about, but still think they're going to win this one handily over the Bulldogs. But just should be some good reps for, especially for the younger guys on this roster against the obviously talented guys that are on the Longhorns roster. And then, of course, you know, for the more experienced guys, it's a good way to kind of set the tone for what the attitude and the field presence needs to be for the rest of the year.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with you, but this is something I should have run by you before the podcast. I will call on the fly. Our friend Corey Diaz, who covers Louisiana Tech, has a quote from safety Jay Sneed. Did you happen to see this quote, or am I breaking to you right now?
I haven't seen the quote, no.
Okay, the quote from safety Jay Sneed on Texas receivers. They can't handle our press. We need to press them. We'll challenge them for all four quarters. So now, Jay Sneed, once again, you can walk the walk. I mean, can you talk the talk? It's time to walk the walk. So I think Texas will win, but apparently we should be keeping an eye out for the press that Tech will be pushing against the Texas receivers.
Fair enough. We'll see how that goes. But I don't know if you could hear as you were talking. Did you hear my my Google Home go off in the background? It started Googling Jay Sneed.
I did. I did hear it.
That's funny. That'll probably show up on the recording. Yeah, that's pretty funny. With both in terms of what happened on our broadcast and in terms of that comment, I don't have the same kind of faith in the Bulldogs defensive core, unfortunately. At least not for this game. I don't have much faith in UTEP's season hopes either. They face Houston Baptist in the first game of the year at 8 p.m. on ESPN Plus on Saturday. I think this is going to be UTEP's one win of the year, to be honest with you. Houston Baptist, if you don't know too much about them, they're not great. But I think with UTEP, I think this is a win they need to get if they you know, want to keep any kind of like positive attitude in that locker room throughout the year. Not going to be an easy thing to do with the injuries to Quadrez Wadley and the kind of cloud hanging over Kyle Oxley, but they need to make something happen, plain and simple. If they can't, it's going to be an even longer year than we already suspect it is.
Houston Baptist is coming off of two straight seasons of 1-10. UTEP cannot under any circumstances lose this game or even quite frankly have a competitive showing. You mentioned two guys, Kyle Loxley. Got to see what he can do in year two in the system under Dana Dimmel. And I'm intrigued to see how Mr. Deion Hankins can perform. And he'll be shouldering the load. The El Paso, Texas native is kind of a legend there in El Paso. And he chose his hometown team, so we'll see what he can do. But, yeah, under no circumstances can this be a close game for all involved with the UTEP program.
Two wins in 2 years. You know who can't say that? UTEP. Right, because then they went 0-12 2 years ago, right? Or did they get, and they got one last year?
I believe you're correct. So I mean, granted, UTEP plays a little bit tougher competition than our friends there at Houston Baptist, but you do make a factual point. So I guess I shouldn't come down too hard on Baptist.
Yeah, I think this is just going to be a sad game, really. Definitely hoping for the best for UTEP in that one, because like I mentioned, it's really hard for it's got to be just incredibly difficult to be in that locker room when you know you're going to struggle for most of this year. You know this FCS team is like your one, you know, team where technically you have an advantage over them. And if you can't at least get that and salvage that little bit of pride, that's got to be brutal for the guys in that locker room, especially the guys that have been there for like the entire duration of the, you know, the two wins in, or the one win in 2 years, rather, that that we've seen from them the last couple of years.
Well, yeah, I mean, even think about it for a second, right? If you go back to 2016, they're a four-win team. You go back to 2015, they're a five-win team, right? So let me see if my my quick math here as the not mathematician, if this works. 2015, 2016, 2017, 2018, 2019. So you could be a fifth-year guy and have seen relative success. So, yeah, it's got to be, you know, a struggle and disappointment if you know when you came to the program. If you're a fifth-year guy and you're recruited by them heading into the 2015 season, the team that recruited you was a 7-6 team under Sean Coogler who went to a bowl game. So you're right. It has to be very demoralizing in that locker room knowing that, hey, this is what we started out with, and due to a variety of circumstances, we're nowhere near that.
Yeah. It's sad to think about. So hopefully they salvage that little bit of pride and happiness and carry it with them for the rest of the year. That can only better their chances if they have that going forward. I think that wraps up our game previews for this week. Eric, where are you watching the games this weekend?
You know what? I plan on being at my house. I might step out Saturday, you know, go to a sports bar, check out especially the big time games, the FAU Ohio State game, the Middle Michigan game. Obviously Thursday I'll be at Yeoman Stadium, you know, checking out what should be hopefully the most competitive game, FIU Tulane. But yeah, I think I'll be somewhere between a local watering hole and my couch. How about you, buddy?
There you go. I know I'm going to be, I think I'm going to be in Tennessee for most of this weekend at Norse Lake. So I think hopefully me and some of my high school friends have an Airbnb. So hopefully we're going to watch some of those games in between, you know, swimming and grilling and that kind of thing. So it'll be fun. I've been looking forward to this weekend for a while, both in terms of the football and this little reunion with my high school friends. So I think it'll be fun.
Nice. Hey, man. Football season, you know, we might not have the most competitive slate, but it's there. It's real football. You can watch it. You can, you know, play your fantasy football. You can drink to it. Not that we, you know, we advocate responsible drinking on the show. Yeah, so glad to enjoy it.
Yeah, you can see it. You can taste it. It's real. Football and beer. Enjoy both of those things this weekend. Make sure you subscribe to the Underdog Podcast on iTunes. Follow at Underdog Dynasty on Twitter. Like them on Facebook. Follow Eric and myself on Twitter at @JoeHio_ and at @EricCHenry_. Check back next week. We're going to recap this weekend's games and preview next weekend's games as well. So make sure you're subscribed if you're not already. iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, all the major platforms. We will talk to you every week for the rest of this season. Happy football watching, everybody.